your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time.
Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm sitting here with no other than Mr. Joel Irway. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
Eric, it's great to be here.
I'm super blessed to have you, bro. Welcome to the show. I'm super excited to share some of your brilliance and the resilience of your experience and how it really contributed to your why, your purpose. But what I really want to do is acknowledge some of the key things that you've been doing, and you've been doing so much, brother. So I'm just going to share some things for anybody that doesn't know who Joel is, or for anybody that it wants to know a little bit more about him. I want to highlight some key acknowledge some of these key insights that he's been able to do, which I really am fascinated with, because Joel was a sales engineer for commercial HVAC manufacturer's rep who realized that he needed to let go of some of the things to grow in life and business. So let's touch on that for a second, brother. I told you just offline, I used to be a welder, boilermaker. So being in the trades and meeting a fellow tradesman, it's always nice to connect. And I want to really dive deep into that, but let's definitely, touch on that, because I think that, it's fascinating how we can really, emphasize and build into that from that space and see what really needs to change as we continue to evolve as human beings. But, today, you're the founder of Webinar Agency, where you help online course creators, coaches, consultants really leverage webinars in a powerful way to sell their products, to really, help them with their services, book more appointments, generate way more qualified sales leads by really building live and automated webinars, which I think is amazing, because I think a lot of the time in the marketplace right now, people may or may not see the value in it. And I think that it's so powerful to the audience right now to really learn from somebody like yourself that has seen so much success in it. And more importantly, been able to pass that on, that knowledge, that brilliance, that success to others. So having spent nearly a decade studying this, you've perfected it and tested every element of successful sales webinars across dozens of different industries. For those of you that don't know, Mr. Joel here is uniquely qualified to understand exactly what webinars need, from small tweaks that can skyrocket sales to a complete teardown and rebuild from the ground up if necessary. For the past 4 years, he's helped hundreds of clients in dozens of different niches generate as much as 7 figures in revenue using his webinar strategies and systems. He's also the host of 2 amazing podcasts, Sold with Webinars and Experts Unleashed. And Sold with Webinars, the podcast, has given him intimate insights and unique access to some of the most successful webinar professionals on the planet, ensuring that his clients are always utilizing the best practices and strategies possible, which I'm really excited and I hope he shares today. So I know that was a mouthful, brother, but welcome. Welcome, bro.
Okay, I'm excited to be here.
Dude, I always get excited with new guests. And for those of you that don't know, Joel and I literally just met 5 minutes ago, and I feel like we can really connect in a way that's really brilliant. But I really want to emphasize the why, bro. You were in this HVAC, you were really focused on, really making sure in the trade side of things, I know that time for money, existence, really it's an existence. What changed, bro? What turned that experience in and contributed to your why today?
So what changed from when I was a sales rep to who I became today?
Yeah.
When I was in, this was a great question. Something I don't really get to talk about a whole lot. Being educated in, so I went to school for mechanical engineering, graduated in 2009, and, my first job out of college was designing heating and cooling systems for hospitals, schools, commercial office buildings, those types of projects. I only lasted about 6 months before I was completely bored with that field, you know, and it was kind of a reckoning point because, you know, you go to school for, in my case, it was 5 years because I had a year of internships. You go to school for 5 years and you last about 6 months in the field of, you know, what you studied. So I was a little nervous about it. And I ended up finding a job in a parallel market where I was now selling the equipment that I was originally designing. So at the end of 6 months, this sales rep firm who had come into my office a few times, given lunch and learn presentations on my products, they had, you know, they were looking for a sales engineer. And so I applied for it. I had no background in sales, no background in marketing. My only background was in engineering. Went in for the interview, ended up getting the job and loved it. I mean, it was a lot more stressful than what I was doing before, but it was more fast paced. And it gave me that step into the world of entrepreneurship because my job was 100% commission only sales. So I ate what I killed. So for 4 or 5 years, I was responsible for growing a brand new territory. Buffalo, New York was my territory. And we really didn't have an established presence there. And so my job was to grow that market. And, you know, and we did. By the time that I left there, we were doing over $2 million a year in sales, which, you know, starting from basically nothing is a pretty good deal. So somewhere around year three, year four, I started getting the itch for entrepreneurship because I had experienced what it was like to have no, you know, cap on your income. And so I started to read some books on marketing, read some books on sales. And eventually I stumbled upon the book, The 4-Hour Workweek, where I learned about automation and delegation. Never really got turned on to the idea of 4-Hour Workweek. You know, I'm always a worker. I like to spend a lot of time working, and that's what got me interested in entrepreneurship because I started learning about, you know, outsourcing and virtual assistants. I'm like, holy cow, I didn't even know this world existed. So that got me into this idea of digital businesses, online businesses, and building a remote team. So I remember I learned about sites like Elance and, you know, what is now Upwork and, you know, Fiverr, and that was the gateway into online entrepreneurship for myself. And 2014, I ended up writing a book on Amazon in the engineering space for the test prep engineering space. And that still sells to this day. So it's like truly wow. Passive income. Wow. All $50 a month in royalties that I make from it. But
I love it. That's amazing. If nobody knew, now they knew, brother. And I just want to first of all apologize because I thought I misinterpreted in my head. It went right to tradesman. And I know that, like, you know, you went to school for 5 years. You're not a tradesman. You're, you know, you're an engineer. So that totally is different from what my, so I was just confused, but this is really like really great. And I think that, you know, that why is so common in so many people is like, you know, going through university and thinking, you know, this is what we really needed. So, you know, or going into a job or thinking that's what they really needed and then identifying with themselves of what's possible as a result of executing things, whether it's in the workforce or if it's in this like deep desire and passion that's within ourselves to recognize what's possible. So take us through, you know, what over the past, you know, 6 years, because you said 2014, you've kind of like been really like now diving deep, or has it been the past 6 or 4 years that you've been really spending a lot of time, you know, in this entrepreneurial space of really identifying what needs to work, testing, marketing, and really taking that marketing and sales approach to in your business and now supporting other entrepreneurs? And how has that allowed you to feel more fulfilled now with what your big vision is? And what is the, you know, what that does that live vision look like today?
Yeah, great question. It's been about 6 years. So 2014 is when I officially launched. 2014, early 2015, I launched the webinar agency, decided to go all in on helping other people craft sales presentations. And, you know, because my background leading up to this was in sales presentations as a sales engineer, I had to give plenty of sales presentations to grow my territory. And so it was a natural kind of next step for me. I mean, I didn't go into entrepreneurship saying, I'm going to help people with webinars. It was kind of, I backdoored into it. I joined a coaching program. And my coach at that point, he's like, hey, you need to do webinars. So I studied webinars. I'm like, I got it. Like, this is easy for me. And everybody in that coaching program was doing webinars. Many people were struggling. And so I just kind of saw the opportunity. I said, this is what I'm going to specialize in. Crushed it for some clients. And I said, I can take this home. And so that's when I launched the webinar agency. So since early 2015, I've been helping other people with webinars and with their marketing ever since. So my why has changed over time. And it's something that I'm, you know, still trying to crystallize, you know, even to this day. So for the first few years, it was, okay, cool. Let's make sure that I build a nest egg for my family. Let's make sure that, you know, we can take care of our needs and we can build the lifestyle that we want. Once we were able to kind of accomplish that, it became a moving target, what my why is, because it's difficult to stay motivated and continue to do what you want if you don't have a strong purpose, if you don't have a strong reason why you're doing it, obviously. And it was nothing that I really thought about early on. As early as, you know, probably early to mid 2019, so last year, I really started to try and figure out, okay, I've accomplished this phase in my life where financially we're set. And, you know, we don't need to make money. We don't need, this business doesn't need to be bringing in revenue to pad our bank account. And, you know, what are the next things that I need to focus on? Well, the first thing that came up, that came to mind was, okay, well, I want to make sure that I am present for my family. So we have I've got a son and a daughter. My son is 4, my daughter is 1. And in 2019, I said, you know what, I'm going to make sure that I have, that I'm spending time with them as often as I can. And so I live, I designed my work week to be a 4x4 lifestyle, which is I work 4 hours a day, 4 days a week. So basically from 11 until 5 with a 1 hour, you know, 1 hour break every single day. A 1 hour break plus I do an hour of working out every day. So basically 4 hours a day I'm working, and I take Fridays off. So I work 4 days a week. That's the 4x4 lifestyle. So I designed that around middle of 2019 so I could be present with my family and make sure that I have time for them. And every Friday we try to do something as a family. When my son is, you know, not in school, he's going to school now, but that 4x4 lifestyle was my original why. And now that I've been doing that for about a year and a half, we're trying to figure out, okay, what's, you know, what next, right? And so it's a moving target. You know, it evolves like the business evolves. And so we are looking at volunteering. We're looking at, my wife and I are looking at writing some children's books right now to help, you know, figure out that next step. But yeah, I mean, I wish I could give you a more concrete answer, but that's the journey.
No, that's amazing. And like, I think that's cool because like, you know, that comes back into like conscious parenting and really being able there for your family, your wife. How many kids do you have?
2.
2, amazing. And you know, married, you know, have 2 kids. It's amazing. And now you get to like, you know, do what you need to do on the weekends, on Fridays, you guys get to spend time. Like, how powerful is that change now, that shift in your perspective now to be able to like follow that why, follow that purpose, but now also to be there and contribute some of your time, your energy, your attention to the people that you love most. Like, what's that feeling like?
It's crazy. You know, it's something that I need to constantly remind myself of and constantly take advantage of, because doing it for a year and a half, I take it for granted. But growing up, you know, my parents were divorced, and every week I'd spend 1 week at my mom's house, 1 week at my dad's house. And I knew that when I got married, number one, I was never going to get divorced. I was never going to put my kids through that. And number two, I wanted to make sure that I was present all the time for anything that my kids were doing. And so, you know, we have I've carved out the time. So I'm with them Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but obviously I have to work too. But, you know, there are plenty of times where Friday comes and, you know, we don't do what we should be doing as a family. And so, you know, my wife and I, we talk about it a lot and we recenter ourselves and refocus ourselves and make sure that we're planning things. But it's a work in progress because I want to make sure that when my kids grow up, you know, they say I had the best parents ever. Right. And that's my mission is I don't want them ever to resent the way that they were brought up. Although they're probably getting, you know, when they get disciplined and whatnot, it's also part of what, you know, they're going to experience, but I want them to know that they had an incredible, you know, incredible parents growing up. And that's my mission right now.
I love it, bro. And I think, you know, it sounds really powerful and like maybe to some people even simple, but like to me, that's super powerful because how you were able to transform or change your life in simple steps. Well, if you could actually, let me rephrase that question. If you could let somebody know that how you were able to transform your life into that level of fulfillment, of capacity, of what you have today in simple steps, what would you tell them?
Well, I would, number one, I hope that everybody can do it, but I don't know if they can. I mean, like as an entrepreneur, I can make my own schedule, right? And so part of what I decided to do was make sure that I could take at least, you know, 3 days a week off. And so I take Fridays off. That's made a big difference. So, I mean, I'm assuming that I'm speaking to entrepreneurs because I can't really comment for people who can't create their own schedule, right? I mean, freedom is one of the that's the whole reason why I quit my six-figure a year corporate job and went out into entrepreneurship was to design my own work-life balance. So anyway, you know, the first step is, you know, you got to make sure that you've got that stable income coming in because without that, I can speak for me. Without that, I was coming from a place of scarcity, anxiety, and fear because you need to make sure you've got ends met. And for the first year and a half, I mean, like it was tough. I remember for the first few months when I was in business, I wasn't even paying myself. And I had a conversation with my buddy. We were in a mastermind together, a free mastermind, but he was like, "Hey man, you know, how are you paying yourself right now?" I'm like, "Well, I'm not." He's like, "Dude, you have to pay yourself first. Like that's the first thing that you need to do is any revenue that comes in the door, you have to set aside just something. So you make sure it's going to control you." And so from that point on, I think I gave myself 10% of all revenue, which I mean, some months it was like $40, you know, I'm paying myself. Right. And so that first step is just making sure that you've got your bare minimum essentials met and always making sure that you pay yourself first. You pay yourself first. Every time that I've given myself a raise, the business has grown every time. And it might not even be a raise in just income. It transformed into raise in time. Like when I took my first step that I took was I took the first 2 hours of every single workday off and it was personal development time. So the hours between I get into the office at 9 o'clock, but from 9 to 11, that's my high leverage time. I work on only projects that I want to work on, personal development, reading. I usually go for walks every single day. So I'll do my, you know, like an hour and a half walk. But as soon as I blocked out the first 2 hours of every single day and I gave myself that allotment, the business grew. Then I took Fridays off and the business grew. So it's not even just giving myself an income raise. It was giving myself a raise in time and the business still continued to grow. So making sure you've got the bare essentials built out and then gradually giving yourself more.
Brother, that speaks so powerfully because I think that so many people think that, you know, oh, to be an entrepreneur, you have to like do all the time. You have to do all the work. You have to do everything instead of like being able to leverage yourself a little bit. So now I think that, you know, you just sharing that not only like was it more about, you know, obviously giving yourself a raise, but giving yourself the raise of time and generating more time in your experience so that you can do more of the things that make you happy. I think that that's really powerful. And emphasizing that and like now pivoting that and turning that into like, wow, how many entrepreneurs out there are struggling with leverage, utilizing a simple and powerful tool that you specialize in? So describe the process behind, you know, the webinar agency, and how has that allowed you to catapult into this, you know, world-class expert, into really like emphasizing and helping tremendous entrepreneurs from all over the world really leverage their own time and become that, having that time efficiency and effectiveness for themselves?
Great. I mean, so I, getting into entrepreneurship, I did not have this like clear direction of I'm going to be the webinar guy, right? It was something, it was an opportunity that presented itself when I joined my first paid mastermind to learn digital marketing. So when I discovered that this was going to be my path, once I helped out my first client, he crushed it, helped out another client, they crushed him. Like, okay, this is a clear opportunity for me. You know, webinars, we teach two different types of webinars. We have, you know, the standard traditional, you know, hour to 2 hour long webinar that most people are familiar with. And then we also teach mini webinars, which are, you know, short video presentations that are usually 10 to 15 minutes long. And depending on the goal of the coach or, you know, the expert, is going to depend on the strategy that we use. And so we've leveraged both long and mini webinars to, you know, tremendous capacities. I can tell you right now that the vast majority of what we do right now are these short mini webinars to generate high ticket appointments. You know, people who are selling $2,000 packages and above, who really just want to generate more phone calls. We've really mastered the art and the science behind developing a short form presentation to educate the prospect, get them pre-sold, pre-qualified, so you have these enrollment conversations that are not strategy sessions, but they are really Q&A sessions when they're when they're interested in your service. And so there are use cases for both. There are situations for both, and it really takes a deep. You need to take a deep dive and really figure out what the goals are of the client to figure out which one's the right fit.
So I love it. So, you know, there's so many people out there that are talking, you know, talk about VSLs or video sales letters or like the short 15 minute version that you're discussing. And they say, it doesn't work. This is bullshit. What would you say to people like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of clickbait out there, like, oh, email marketing is dead, ads are dead, you know, all this other stuff is dead. And it's like, I think most people can kind of see through the BS. When something doesn't work, but you're seeing a lot of other people have success, if it doesn't work for you, right, there's probably a strategic element that needs to be fixed, right? The way that we approach these short form presentations are, you know, the best way for me to explain it is to tell my own story of how we discovered them. And so in 2016, we were running automated webinars for our clients, you know, long form webinars for our clients. And even for our own business, right? We had a $25,000 offer for our services. We had an $8,000 group coaching program that we were promoting. And, you know, we were really struggling to get leads on our own with paid traffic. Even though we were crushing it for tons of our clients, we had the worst performing webinar of any that we had seen. It was just the most frustrating thing. So we enlisted in the help with experts. I mean, we shelled out tens and tens of thousands of dollars in coaching programs and reviews and ads. And I remember one night we had moved into our brand new house over here, just north of Niagara Falls in Lewiston. And this house is three times more expensive than our previous home. My son Dominic was just born, so we have a new mouth to feed. Our expenses are triple. And so I've got that anxiety. I've got those fears and sensations of like, I need to provide for my family. Well, I'm laying awake in bed at night, losing sleep and staring at the ceiling fan. And I'm reading another book on marketing, trying to find the solution. And I remember it clear as day. It was 11 o'clock at night. I'm reading How to Create an Irresistible Offer by Bob Bly, who is a phenomenal copywriter. He's a legend in the space. And on like the third or fourth page, there's a chart that Bob put in there, and it was basically it showed the cost per customer acquisition, depending on the type of content that you put out. And so what it was saying was there are two types of content. There's brand-driven content, and then there's offer-driven content. Brand-driven content is your typical educational-based marketing approach. So webinars, lead magnets, you know, anything that's educational is brand-driven content with a, you know, without a call to action. And then you have offer-driven content, which is content that's meant to inspire a call to action. And what he said was, if your piece of content is primarily offer-driven, your cost per customer acquisition is going to be the lowest. And as you slide that scale away from primarily offer-driven to primarily brand-driven, your cost per customer acquisition goes up. The more education you do in your content, the higher your cost per acquisition. Like, this was the big light bulb moment for me that changed everything. And so I read that and I said, this makes total sense. And this is exactly why we were struggling with our lead generation. I mean, we were paying on average about $450 per application with our automated webinar. And for anybody who's ever run paid traffic and tried to generate phone calls, that's extremely expensive. We were still profitable, but it was unscalable. And I said, the reason why this isn't working is because I'm over-educating my market. And I said, I jumped out of bed, ran downstairs, fired up my laptop, and I created what I can now call power offers. I created the first version of my power offer, which was a primarily offer-driven piece of content. I said, this is going to work. I know this is going to work. I created this power offer ad and I hit publish. I ran the ad that night. I said, in the morning, I'm going to look to see how it's performing and I'm not going to touch it. Went to bed. I woke up. I had a flood of applications for around $30 a piece. And like literally overnight, my cost per application dropped by 90%. I was paying $450 per application. Now I was paying $30 to $40 per application. And so
this was kind of
the birth of the power offer and the mini webinar, which is now, you know, what our primary focus is, you know, for anyone who's looking to generate strategy calls or enrollment calls, I should say.
That's super powerful, bro. And like the power offer, it was literally just focusing more on getting a call to action, creating an offer, getting them interested and making sure they take some sort of like initiative to get you into, you know, essentially a strategy call or and now you're able to, you've been able to scale that. How long ago was that?
That was 2016. And I'll give you the framework of the power offer that we used. I remember it clear as day. I mean, it's just 1 to 2 sentences, right? So I remember simplifying this 60-minute presentation that I had and distilling it into a 1 to 2 sentence power offer that I just published out as an ad, right? So I want rather than, you know, sending out an ad that says, hey, sign up for my free training, watch my free training. And at the end, you know, there's going to be a call to action. I'm going to put that call to action right at the beginning, like the ad, like the first thing that they see, I want them to see it. I want them to see an offer from me. And so that power offer that I created that night was, hey, attention coaches and course creators and consultants, if I offer to create a high converting webinar for you in less than 24 hours, guaranteed to convert without you knowing what to say or how to say it, would you take me up on that offer? That was it. And that's what got the flood of responses coming in immediately. You know, we've since refined that. We've added, you know, more of a system to it. But like that was the 1 to 2 sentence power offer that has become kind of our staple of what we're really known for. And so that was the genesis of this entire methodology.
And you know, I think that this is really cool and it's super important like position that I think that you put out there with your bold, audacious, you know, goal or promise. And now, you know, for the people that are, you know, really logical and going into their brain right now and saying, how is that even possible? How do you determine results like that in the next, you know, 24 hours that is guaranteed to convert? What would you tell them?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so like, that's where our mini webinar comes in, right? So like, once we get them hooked on that power offer promise, like now we want to provide them some like the minimum viable content that they need to see to make an educated decision. And like the main thing that we cover in our 10 to 15 minute presentations are, number one, what is it that you do differently? Like, I know we're both connected by mutual friend, Todd Brown. I learned this from Todd Brown and mastered this from Todd Brown. You know, the unique mechanism is one of the most important things that differentiates you from your customers. You know, how is it that what you deliver is different than all of your competitors? And if you don't have a unique mechanism, then you're very easily swiped, you're easily hacked. And, you know, what I like to say is if you have a unique mechanism, your offer is pretty much evergreen for a very long time, because it's hard to replicate, it's hard to hack. So we talk about our unique mechanism, our unique methodology, and our unique process inside of our mini webinar. Like, because that's the natural question. Like, oh, okay, I understand your power offer. I understand your promise. Like, build me a webinar in 24 hours. How are you going to do it? Like, why should I pay attention to you? What makes you different? So you have to answer that question inside the mini webinar. And then the second question is like, what's the process that you're going to take people through? And I usually like to distill it, your high level process, in 3 to 4 steps. And this is really where the webinar component comes from, because, you know, we are still educating them a little bit, but it's very much like, okay, here's the minimum that you need to know in order to make a buying decision. So it's not necessarily like giving them teaching content. It's like, okay, this is our process for how this is going to work and how we are going to work together. So that, you know, we cover that inside of that, you know, 10 to 15 minute long presentation. So when they get on the phone with us, I mean, like, they're asking, like, the only thing that we want them asking us is saying, okay, Eric, I understand your process. I understand your methodology. I want that. Now tell me, will this work for my situation? Like, that's all they really want to know when they get on the phone is, will this work for me? Let me tell you a little bit more about my situation and you tell me yes or no if this is going to work. Like, that's really what our enrollment conversations are all about. We want them already saying, yes, I want your unique mechanism. I want your methodology. Will it work for me?
I love that. I think that that literally is, you know, it's so fascinating, because like you said, you know, we both have like really learned from our great friend, Mr. Todd. And I find that that's so difficult for so many people to really, really understand how much, how important it is to really use the unique method or unique mechanism, or how to really emphasize that, because that's exactly where the brilliance comes in. And that's what makes us all unique in our own ways and in the way that we can add value. It's like, I find that so many people think that because they compare themselves so often to other people, and you know, we can easily do that, compare ourselves to, you know, to Todd or to anybody else that's out there in the marketplace. But we realize that there's like a unique process that we've been going through, and that's how we educate. So if people are thinking, listen, I don't have a brilliance, I don't have a unique mechanism, what would you tell them and say, like, listen, go out there and you do. What would you actually, let me just leave that this. What would you tell somebody that is like, I don't have a unique mechanism, or I don't know, like, I don't have brilliance, or, you know, you know, the common, you know, limiting belief that so many entrepreneurs may be having right now as they're listening to this?
Yeah. So if you haven't developed a unique mechanism quite yet, you still need to develop a unique story. So like the first thing that I'm going to tell you to do is tell your unique Genesis story, because, you know, even if I don't tell people what my unique mechanism is, I tell them the story of like how I was able to reduce my lead cost by 90%, reduce my application cost by 90%, literally overnight. And so I tell that story about how I was lying awake in bed. You know, it's the typical thing. Like, you have to figure out what is keeping your prospects awake in bed at night. And I was literally lying awake in bed trying to figure out where my next customer is coming from. Like, that's telltale story, but it actually happened to me. I was staring at the ceiling fan, reading this book, and I saw this chart when it hit me. Like, I need to stop marketing. I need to make more offers. And so I took that to heart and I just started making more offers with paid ads. I made more offers on my email list, on my organic, you know, on my social media feeds. And I developed that power offer, which was like the biggest game changer for me. So if you don't have your own unique mechanism, number one, really work on it. But at the bare minimum, you have to tell your unique discovery story of how you discovered what it is that you're either implementing for other people or you're teaching them. And that unique discovery story is what's going to be the starting point for you connecting with your audience.
I love it, dude. That's power. So like that unique discovery or that that unique story, it really is the way that they create people, not they or anybody, like anybody really, can really resonate, you know, resonate based off of that. It's like, you know, your story resonates with me because there's so many things that are similar, and then there's things that are like unique. But like, I find that having a power, the power of the story, it really is the way that we can really help one another powerfully. And I really love that takeaway from it, because I think that that's super, it shares authenticity, shares vulnerability, shares transparency, and gives all of that power occasion to really build rapport with our audiences. So man, you've given us like such a profound path to success, and really some power insights of ways that people can, you know, extrapolate some of this information. What would you say is one reason people will fail or would fail?
The main reason people fail is, and this is another reason why we now start with the offer, but one of the main reasons that people fail is people don't want their offer, and the expert falls in love with their offer, meaning they are unwilling to listen to the market feedback and change their offer based on what they want. I call it the square peg round hole syndrome, yep. Meaning, you know, there's an expert out there who has an offer, and you know, they're so passionate about it, and they're so, you know, they do great work, but they don't have an offer that speaks to what their customers actually want. And that's the key. You have to figure out how to deliver your offer by fulfilling on what your customers actually want. It's selling them what they want, giving them what they need, right? And you know, it's health, wealth, and relationships. Those are the three main markets. And there's so many people out there that they service their customers, but they are unwilling to change their message to fulfill one of those three core basic needs, especially with cold traffic. Like when you're trying to attract brand new customers, like you have to hit those surface level desires. Even if your core offer services something different, you have to relate it to how it solves a problem that they're currently having on the surface level. Because if you can't solve a surface level desire or a surface level problem, surface level want, like they're not going to listen to what you really want to deliver. And so people who fall in love with their products and they fall in love with their services, but they aren't satisfying what the audience actually is willing to, you know, part away with money with, they get the most stuck. They get the most stuck. I mean, yep. Case in point, I have a client and a great guy. I love him to death, and I've worked with him. He is in the course creation space, and he has an offer. I know he's like super talented. Like he's the best in the world at what he does. And his offer is revolving around helping course creators increase their completion rates, like designing like the best course for the students. And while he has a fantastic offer, nobody is out there saying, you know, very few people are out there searching the internet for how do I increase the course completion rates for my students. They might be searching for that, but it's nothing that they're willing to part with money over, meaning he needs to figure out a way to fulfill on that. Like if that's what he wants to sell, and that's what he wants to fulfill, that's totally fine. But it's not a surface level desire, or it's not a surface level problem that people are having right now. He has to say, give that message and present it in a way that attracts people to his world that are willing to part with money. Meaning, how is it going to help them make more money? How is it going to help them get more customers? How is it going to help them get more students? And so I only talk about that because he's one of the most recent customers that I've been dealing with that is really falling really in love with his offer and unwilling to kind of shift his message to solve a big problem that people are willing to pay for.
So when people are stuck with their offers and like not stuck, but like, you know, they love their offers and all they see is like, holy cow, I'm not getting a return on investment rather than seeing a problem with the offer. What would you tell them?
I'm going to tell them they have to like, they have to stop falling in love with their offer. Meaning it's a very difficult thing for them to part with because as experts, we are so passionate in what we do, right? And I totally get it. I totally get it because I've been there. I've created courses before that don't sell or they attract the wrong types of people. And this is a balance that people have to learn as a marketer, as a business owner. But you have to be willing to listen to the data. And the data could be nobody's buying. The data could be nobody's scheduling a call. The data could be nobody's responding. You have to be willing to listen to that data and say, okay, is there something wrong with my offer that people just aren't getting? One of the things that my client was struggling with is he had a conversation with a prospect and he was helping him, you know, rework some course content and making it, you know, more comprehensive, making the content easily retainable. And the way that he was presenting it, it just made it sound like it was easily duplicatable by a virtual assistant, not an expert. Just, okay, I'm going to go have a virtual assistant go through and create transcripts or upload the audio files. And he didn't have his unique mechanism. Like he didn't have his unique differentiator that said, no, you need an expert for this, not, you know, an assistant to just go and do these other things. And so it's a real balancing act. It's a real balancing act. But the bottom line is, number one, you have to frame your message in a way that shows people, hey, you need this. And here's why I'm different. And here's why you need me and not some other competitor or someone that you can just train on your team. And you just have to be willing to listen to that data.
So powerful, bro. So powerful. I think that's really an insight that I know that even myself, you know, there's been times where I've been like stuck on my offer or, you know, I keep testing and measuring. And it's like, you need to like change things and make things better. And it gives us an opportunity to always like, you know, think outside of the box. And I think that that's the key indicator for myself has always been like, how can we always make this, you know, a step above? And I love that. And I think, you know, everybody that's on here is definitely resonating with that. And if not, make sure you change your offer. At least go look into like how you can, right? Like how can you make it better? There's always another skill, another level, another opportunity to like step it up. I believe so anyways. So brother, I just want to acknowledge that and thank you. You know, I think it's really important, you know, with all this knowledge and brilliance that you've given, how can people find you, Joel? You know, like you come up with some great ideas, you come up with some great insight, you come up with some great, you know, webinars. Where can they find out more about you? Where can they go look at, you know, some of these brilliant ideas and webinars that you have? And what can, you know, what's the best way to connect with you?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. The best, easiest way for you to find me is just go to joelirway.com. So it's kind of like my central hub for my brand. You can check out the webinaragency.com as well. We have a workshop that you can check out as well for $37. It helps you craft your own power offer, which is probably our highest or our most popular program, our most popular product. We've had people make up to $20,000 in a span of 24 hours just by crafting a power offer to their internal audience. Wow. And so, you know, that's powerofferworkshop.com, but those are three resources that they can check out. If you search for Sold with Webinars, that's my podcast. You can listen to all my marketing content. We've got like 130 episodes published right now. I mean, easiest place though, is to go to joelirway.com. That'll give you your self-guided path to whatever you're looking for.
Absolutely. And I'll put all the links in the show notes for you, brother, so that anybody that like, you know, everybody that listening, make sure go follow Joel. You know, he's on Instagram. He drops some brilliant content. Check out the podcast. You know, make sure you're following this gentleman. He's a legend in the making, already a legend. And just appreciate you coming on, dude. Really thank you for your time. I appreciate all the insights, all the brilliance, all the love. Last question I have for you, bro, before you go, I'm swatting flies as I say it. You know, if you had 3 days left to live, bro, what would you do?
3 days. That's deep. Man, I would probably hunker down with my family. What would I do? It would be spent with family. The entire time would be spent with family. I don't know exactly what I would do, but I would not let my kids out of my sight for 3 days. Like I know no matter what I do, like that's what it would be. My wife and my kids.
I love that. Yeah. I love it, man. It means a lot. And that's the driving force. That's the big why, right? It comes back to that at the end of the day, right? So which is really beautiful to really take apart and see from anything that we always do. It always just comes down to the why. And the why for you, the 3 days, would be family. So, brother, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you. For anybody, you know, that doesn't know anything about Joel, go check him out. Go check out joelurway.com. Check him out on Instagram, Facebook, wherever he's at. I'm sure he will find you as well or respond. And most importantly, bro, do you have any last kind of words or insights you want to share?
Dude, it's been a blast. I've appreciated this conversation. It's been a bit different than what I normally talk about, but it was very, it was a welcome conversation to take in a couple different angles. So thanks for asking great questions and sparking some unique answers.
Bless you, brother. Appreciate you. And we'll talk soon, bro.
Cool. Thank you.